Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Barry Shoup, the former executive director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases and Professor Emeritus of Virology at Fitz University. Prof, it's always great to have you with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Simon. Good afternoon.
Prof, today we're going to talk about this very interesting subject of second waves that a lot of us are quite frightened about and don't really know anything about. So maybe, yeah, make some sense of this for us.
Okay, let me try. Okay, Simon. You know, first of all, we're in the midst of the first wave now, as many countries have been up to now. So the question is, why does the first wave come down? Because, you know, it comes down. Well, it comes down for two reasons. Yeah. One of the reasons is that if there's not enough susceptible individuals for the virus to infect, of course, it's got nowhere to go, and therefore the infection will come down. So you need to have susceptibles for the virus to go to. That's number one. Number two, if we stop the virus from infecting people by physical distancing, by masking, by washing hands, et cetera, then again we interrupt the ability of the virus to infect individuals. So it's two things, the number of susceptibles and also what we do, what we interfere with the virus's transmission ability. And this all comes down to that magic number called the R number, the reproductive number. I think we've mentioned it before. The reproductive number is the number of people that, you know, are infected from a person that is infected, the number of susceptibles that are infected from an infected person. So in other words, in the case of coronavirus, it's usually given as 2.5. So one infected person will infect 2.5 susceptible individuals if there's no interference, if there's no measures to stop that transmission. If we do interventions, that R number is then called the RT number, an effective reproductive number. There's no interference called the R naught, which is the basic reproductive number. And the herd immunity is the percentage of individuals who are immune in order for the virus to die out. And the herd immunity is determined by the reproductive number. The higher the reproductive number, the higher the herd immunity. The lower reproductive number, the lower the herd immunity. So if we look at the coronavirus, it's got a basic reproductive number of 2.5. That means that the herd immunity is then 6%. 60%. You need 60% of individuals to become immune for the virus, for the epidemic then to die out. Now, the problem is, of course, that if you even look at South African statistics, we've had up to now, 521,000 cases. That's about 1% of the population. So even if you double that, so we haven't detected another 50% of those that will be infected, we still get to a very small percentage. The great majority of individuals will remain susceptible because they haven't seen the infection up to now. And the virus, of course, is not going to go anywhere. The virus is still circulating. And if we don't have those interventions, the masking, the physical distancing, and so on, the reproductive number will be the basic reproductive number, which is 2.5. The herd immunity will be 60%, and therefore you'll get a second wave. So the first wave comes down because we've got our control measures,
sure,
and because certain percentage of individuals get infected, you're immune. Yeah. The infection then comes down. The virus doesn't disappear. It's still circulating at a low level. And then as the susceptibles build up again and or as our interventions, as our restrictions start getting lifted, then again the virus will find those susceptibles and cause a second wave. And this is precisely what happened.
Sorry, yeah, I'm no scientist and I'm no mathematician, but I kind of follow what you're saying. What I want to understand is why then, if this is almost a scientific formula, is there right. talk among certain groups that the second wave will be worse than the first? How can that possibly be the case?
No, I think it's unlikely to be worse. I think it's going to be not as bad. Although, of course, in Melbourne, they've had a very serious second wave. Israel is also having quite a significant second wave. I think what they're looking at is the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. In that one, the second wave was vastly more serious than the first wave. But I think that the dynamics were a little bit different there. There was some residual immunity for one thing. Influenza was not totally new virus as coronavirus is. So I think with coronavirus probably, and also because we are a little more educated, we got our intervention resources are a bit better than the Spanish influenza situation. So I think it probably won't be as bad. But, of course, in Melbourne, it has been as bad, if not worse. In Israel, they're also going through a bad patch. It's all going to depend that we don't kind of relax after the first wave comes down.
You know, you say Melbourne is so terrible, but I was actually looking at the stats today. There were 400 cases overnight. I mean, by South African standards, that's a non-event, 400 cases.
Well, relative to what they had before, I think it was much less before.
Yeah, okay.
I don't have the statistics, but it's worse now.
I'm running over time, but I think it's well worth it. One more question for you, Prof. Has any country in the world come anywhere close to achieving herd immunity, or is that still just a fantasy?
No, just a fancy. Because, you know, to get to 60%, for example, we're way under that. Even countries with mature epidemics, they're hovering at about 10% or so of population being immune. What will give us herd immunity is the vaccine. Because the vaccine is provided, we cover as much, over 60% with effective immunity, then we'll reach herd immunity.
Prof, we went over time, but thank you for being prepared to do that for us. Interesting as always, and look forward to chatting to you tomorrow.
No, I'll be back on Monday.
That's right. I did. Yes.
I'll be back on Monday.
yes. Okay, Prof, so thank you, and Shabbat Shalom, and we will catch up with you on Monday.
Thanks very much, Simon. All the best.